the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Thursday edition of the Coach's Corner, live from the Auto Farm Studios, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We're going to talk more high school football. Yesterday, Coach Josh Huntsman gearing up for Carbon's contest tomorrow against the Manti Templars. Today, we are going to talk Emory High School football. The Spartans entering year three under head coach John Famalo will play host to the Richfield Wildcats right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. And Coach Famalo is joining us right now over the phone. Coach, a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate having me on, Jordan.
Definitely, Coach. It's go time. There's no more abstract talk. There's no more, you know, off-season workout talk. It is seriously go time for these boys. You guys have been working hard, I know, over the last few months, and now the season opener against Richfield, it's a day away.
Yeah, I mean, it got here pretty quick, and so I'm getting excited for it, and say we've done put in the work, and so we'll see what comes out of it come Friday. So yeah, we're excited and ready to go.
When you say put in the work, Coach, are you happy with what you've seen from this team over the last 3 weeks? I know it's different than the off season itself, but of the 3 weeks that you guys get to practice, are you happy?
Yeah, honestly, I am. I mean, you're not ever satisfied as a coach where you want to be, especially coming on game week. But so far as the work ethic of the kids, and you know, getting them prepared that way, you know, I feel good about where we're at, probably ahead of where we were last year based off of, you know, the offense that we put in last year. And now we got another, you know, we got a year under our belt that way. And so feel a lot more confident that way about where we are offensively and defensively. We've been, you know, kind of same with the same system. So so far as that, I feel pretty good. But there's always things you want to get implemented and get better at. And so that's just, we'll have to work through that as the season goes on.
Coach, as I go back and I examine 2017, it's so hard to gauge at where you guys are at offensively because of the changes that we've seen over the last 3 years. But, I mean, it is safe to say that you guys are a spread offense team. There's no more implementation of the spread offense. I mean, from what I can gauge, especially watching you guys practice, I mean, this is viewed as a full-on spread offense.
Yeah, we've obviously transitioned to that point. I think it's a little easier offense for our offensive line, and but it puts a lot of pressure on a quarterback. And but at the same time, I think it allows us to use the weapons we have as far as the kids and the skill level that they have to be able to use them in the best ability we can. So that's kind of the reason of transitioning that way. And, you know, like I say, another year under our belt that way, it's just, you know, hopefully we'll progress and get better at it.
I had an opportunity to talk to Kyson Stilson earlier in the week, and one of the things I appreciate so much about Kyson is he gives you honest answers when you interview him. Talking about last season, you know, he said a lot of that goes on me, some of the losses that we had deep into the season, you know, one possession losses, a lot of that's on me. He also talked about accountability of his offensive line in this spread offense, and when he puts the ball in the vicinity of a receiver, they better catch it. I mean, it's kind of a fluid situation, I know, but to see a senior quarterback take responsibility for losses, Coach, I really appreciate that, and I'm sure you do as well from a leader standpoint.
Yeah, I do. I mean, again, as we reviewed, you know, last season, that's what we talked about a ton, as, you know, we were, you know, half a dozen plays away from, you know, a win or a loss. And so I appreciate him. Again, it doesn't necessarily all fall on him, but I feel, you know, it's nice to hear him want to take accountability. And that's what we're trying to teach these kids, accountability of your position and what you're trying to do and being able to answer that. And so that does mean a lot to me that he feels like, hey, I need to step up and be better. And, you know, it makes a difference in a win and a loss.
We talk about the pressure of a quarterback, and we can talk about the pressure of Rance Jensen and what he's going to have to carry offensively. But, Coach, when you have such a lack of senior leadership on the team because you don't have seniors, and we look at what you have in the trenches, it seems like a lot of it is going to fall on Jesse Barnett, who was a standout player last year on both sides of the football. I think that's something that gets, I guess it's an underrated aspect of football. You know, we talk about the quarterback leadership, we talk about the skill positions, but when you lack that up front and you have one kid who is such a big contributor, I guess a lot of that pressure falls on him as well.
Yeah, it does. Between him and Ashton Rowley, again, Ashton's a senior, but he's a little bit of a quiet leader, where Jesse's a little bit more vocal kid on the line. And you know, and so between those two, they're going to be our anchors on that offensive line. You know, I possibly have a sophomore on that line, and, you know, a couple juniors. But you know, that's Jesse, he understands. He's bought into, you know, he's a kid that's transitioned from a running back now to the offensive line and the defensive line, from a linebacker to the defensive line. And so a kid that's bought in wholeheartedly as what he needs to do to make our team succeed and where he needs to play. And so it's been awesome to see him transition into a leader that way, especially on our line where we need him.
I think the camaraderie is obvious with this squad. That's something that stood out to me in practice. I mean, when you look at the kids, they all seem to enjoy being around one another.
No, that's been the awesome thing about this group, honestly. They all get along. The atmosphere in practice has been really good as far as the kids' attitude about wanting to work hard and, you know, have kids, you know, feeling like they can rest or take it off. They're pushing each other. And so, you know, practice has been great that way for kids being able to push themselves and trying to get better, especially when you got young kids trying to push to get varsity spots. I think that helps that attitude of those older kids needing to know, hey, I got to continue to work hard.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach John Famala with the Emory High School football team. Coach, let's talk about Friday night's opponent. It is Richfield. Every time I've talked to you, I've brought up the conversation that this is how the season ended against Richfield. A little bit different this year. They have a first-year head coach, a guy that took over a program fairly late into the offseason, and I really don't know what to expect from Richfield tomorrow night.
We don't either. Again, it's going to be one of those mysteries. We'll certainly find out. Certainly you can read reviews, you know, they're supposed to run the spread, carry over a lot of their coaching staff from the prior head coach. And so defensively, maybe you get the same fronts on that 4-3. And so, you know, preparing for that makes it a little bit tougher. But at the same time, you can't make football too difficult. Again, we know what we're running on our offensive side, and they know rules. On the defensive side, it's, you know, again, don't make it too difficult. If we get aligned in the right spots, and, you know, now you need to just go tackle the person. Yeah, I mean, you just got to make plays. And so kids got to understand that, I mean, no matter what offense is coming at you, you got to continue to get aligned right and make your right reads, and you should be just fine.
You say you don't want to make football too difficult, and I'm sure this is a real simplistic way of looking at it, but when I do look at Richfield and I go back and I review some of the stuff from last year, to me it's pretty simple. Offensively, if you stop Richfield, you got to make sure that Emmett Hafen is just kept in place. To me, he's probably the best athlete that we will see in 3A, and he's going to be under center for Richfield tomorrow night. I mean, to me, offensively, there's really no secret. I mean, if you can contain this kid, you have a pretty good chance against Richfield.
No, and that's it. That's what we talked about a ton this week is, you know, he's certainly a dual threat quarterback. And again, when he sits back in the pocket and you give him time, he'll pick you apart. And when you get pressure on him, you need to make sure you keep him in the pocket. If not, he'll scramble and use his legs and make plays. And so, you know, he's a kid that we certainly have in our game plan to make sure we try to keep under control. Because like I say, we can keep him under wraps. That will hopefully help us to control the ball game and you know, put it in our favor.
You have a couple of game films to look at when, you know, dissecting how you approach this game with Richfield defensively, Coach. And when I go back and I look at Emmett Hafen scrambling in the pocket, to me, at times, he tried to do a little too much with his feet. Now, I'm sure, again, we're talking about a kid that's got another year under his belt, but it seemed like to me he got in trouble when his offensive line didn't know where he was at, and that's doing too much with his feet. That's difficult to game plan, though, from a defensive standpoint. How do you approach that, and is that a fair assessment?
No, that is. I mean, he's a kid that can, again, at times he can get himself in trouble for the fact that he's trying to do a little too much. And that's what we have to try to get him into that point where, again, we force him to make mistakes because he's a kid that uses his legs really well to get outside the pocket and he throws well on the run. And so, again, for us defensively, the biggest key is we've got to keep him contained. Once he gets outside and he can freelance, that's when he becomes dangerous. But if you can keep him inside and then make him try to do a little bit too much and then you get a little bit of help, I think that's where you can kind of control him and then hopefully he'll make a mistake. And whether it's an interception or take a deep sack, I think that's where you can kind of game plan to make sure you keep him under control and take advantage of what he's trying to do.
We talk offense, we talk defense, Coach, but one of the things that stands out to me, especially in the black and gold game and talking to some of the other people around the program, I think this is kind of the consensus thought. I always look at the special teams in any high school football game we go into and who has a legitimate kicker, because a kicker in high school football makes all the world of a difference. Doesn't matter if it's a punter or if it's a place kicker. I don't know that there's a better kicker in the 3A classification than Brock Winter.
No, Brock's he's got a great leg. Again, you know, one thing that in the black and gold game, he missed a few kicks. And so as a coach, it's one of those, you got to step back and say, hey, Brock, you're overthinking things. And, you know, I think kickers sometimes do that. It's, you know, because in practice, you'll hit 40 yarders, 45 yarders, and without a blink of an eye. And so transitioning that to the game, that's where we got to get him a little bit more consistent. But so far as his leg, you know, I'm confident in what he can do and put it through the uprights.
As far as kicking the ball, kicking off, I don't see too many instances, Coach, where we could see returns this year. I mean, is that fair as well? I mean, this kid has the ability to kick it into the end zone every time.
Yeah, no, and that's what we're hoping. I mean, if we can get a team to start on the 20, that helps us defensively to be able to stay on top of it. Whereas if, again, you get some run backs and we got a lot of young kids playing on the special teams, you know. But, you know, Brock's worked hard this summer, and, you know, I've seen him increase that distance in his kickoffs. And so that's what our game plan, our hope is that we'll get touchbacks every single kickoff and start in a good position defensively.
Everybody wants to win every game, Coach. I know you want to win every game, but these first 4 weeks, they don't count towards that region record. And, of course, the region format, as far as the playoffs go, it's the same format as last year where everybody's going to get a chance in the playoffs, 1 through 6. Everybody gets a chance at least one game. What are the four things that you look for, or I shouldn't say four things, but what are the things you look for the most out of the first 4 games this year with a younger group?
The biggest thing is progression. I mean, so far as getting better. Again, like you say, wins and losses. Certainly any win you can get helps build confidence, but so far as using a lot of young kids, I need to help build them confidence in what they're doing and being able to compete at a varsity level. You know, so that's the number one thing is I need kids who want to compete and get better these next 4 games. And then hopefully you see progression on both sides of the ball, that we're getting better, that we're identifying things a little easier, and the game becomes easier for those kids. You know, those are the two things I'd like to take out of this preseason is that, hey, we're competing, that we're getting better, and, you know, hopefully at the end those equate to wins.
Coach, it's always so much fun to get you on and talk about the team. I'm glad now that we actually have some X's and O's and some meat and potatoes to talk about as far as the football scene goes. Any injuries going into week one that we should be aware of?
We're missing Braxton Young, a junior that played for us a little bit last year, and we were kind of hoping to use him a lot on the defensive side. So he'll probably miss the first game, but besides that, you know, I feel pretty fortunate about no injuries in, you know, the black and gold game, any of the camps that we went to, and so we're relatively healthy, and I think the kids are ready to hit somebody else besides themselves.
Looking forward to it, Coach. Thank you very much for the time, and best of luck against Richfield.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Again, that's Coach John Famala with the Emory Spartan football team, taking out the time to preview tomorrow's action. We have plenty more high school football talk coming up in the next couple of days. Plenty more football talk coming up here on the show. In fact, we've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to talk to Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports. We'll talk some college football. It's coming up next right here on Drive Time Sports.